Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 13th chapter of St. Luke, the Gospel text. A guinea fowl is a lot like a chicken. I gotta say, I never saw a weasel out at the farm until we got our guinea fowl. We got them mostly to eat the Japanese beetles, which they did if you gathered the beetles and fed them to them. In the old days, they used to keep the guinea fowl as an early warning system to let everybody know if a fox was in the neighborhood. Guy over in Muscatine sells them. I built a coop. We went over and got five of them, turned them loose to eat the bugs, and the weasel noticed. 17 years ago, we built a house in the middle of a cow pasture and we're surrounded by woods. We thought about getting chickens. The coop's already there. There's a lot of killing going on in those woods. The books about chickens all say that if your chickens go into the woods, they're probably not coming out. Guinea fowl. They look a lot like chicken. They don't taste very much like it. Five went into the woods. Four came out. One Sunday morning, wife went out to let the dog out. There were bushes by the front porch. The guinea fowl had been in those bushes. They weren't there, probably from hiding from things trying to eat them. But an opossum was in the bushes, waiting for the birds to show up. Six shots rang out. I think he's dead. No, just playing possum. Three more shots. Coons, owls, hawks, even skunks. And then the fox showed up. And we ended up with two guinea fowl on the porch. They were scared to go out into the yard, and you know what guinea fowl do on the porch all day. They were kind of tough. At that very hour, Luke tells us, some Pharisees came. And they said to Jesus, get away from here because Herod wants to kill you. At that very hour, it means because of something Jesus has just said or done, Herod wanted to kill him. And that's pretty serious stuff, isn't it? Somebody wanted to kill you. It's a heck of a thing, killing a man. You take away everything he's got and everything he's ever going to have. And what did he say? What did Jesus say or do that made Herod want to kill him? Well, just before this, he told a parable about faithful and unfaithful servants. And Herod maybe thinks that Jesus thinks that he's an unfaithful servant of God. He does think that. Herod and people like him are. Jesus had said, you will see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of heaven of God, and you yourselves thrown out. Thrown out. They didn't like that. They didn't want to hear it. The religious leaders, Herod, who would want to hear that? He continues, and men will come from east and west and from north and south and sit at table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, some are first who will be last. That's not the worldview that was embraced by Herod, who considered himself to be Jewish, who observed the religious ritual. The pedigree of Herod Antipas is complicated. He was not fully Jewish. He had Jewish blood. He was never quite accepted by the masses. A good way to become accepted by the masses, even the most brutal of dictators crave that acceptance, is to embrace their religion. To embrace the religion of the people, you embrace the religious leaders of the people. And Herod tried to ally himself to them, to the religious leaders, who had already decided that Jesus had to be killed. And if those religious leaders wanted Jesus dead, and they did, then Herod also wanted Jesus dead. And he has already shown himself to be both able and willing to do that. John the Baptizer is dead at the hand of Herod. In Herod's mind, it would be a feather in his cap if he could do the same to Jesus. But not all religious leaders are the same when it comes to Jesus. Mostly, the Pharisees were the ones who tangled a lot with Jesus. We see that in the New Testament. But as is the case, anytime you get a group of people, not all Pharisees are the same. Most of them, well, yeah, they had already had that meeting after church and decided that Jesus had to go, were vehemently opposed to Jesus. But Nicodemus, a Pharisee, wanted to learn from him. Another Pharisee, Joseph of Arimathea, gave up his own personal tomb to the body of Jesus. I think that Joseph knew that his tomb was only a loner. So there were Pharisees, these families here, who liked Jesus. My mother used to tell me, that mouth of yours is going to get you into trouble, and it has. I don't know if Mary ever told Jesus that his mouth was going to get him into trouble, but it did. Remember why the hometown folk at Nazareth rejected him twice. Second time wanting to kill him because he said that Gentiles like you are included in the kingdom of heaven. At the end of John 8, they wanted to stone him because of what he said. What he said was that he's God. I think it's never personal when people want to kill Jesus. I think his mouth gets him into trouble. And that's sort of the ultimate, you've heard cancel culture. The ultimate cancel culture. Killing. It's the way that Herod silenced John the Baptizer. Didn't like what he was saying, canceling him by killing him. John had told Herod that it was wrong for him to marry his brother's wife. But after he was dead, John didn't say that anymore to Herod. Problem solved. Cancel culture. Definition. Call-out culture is a blanket term used to refer to a modern form of ostracism in which someone is thrust out of social or professional circles, whether it be online, on social media, or in person. Those subject to this ostracism are said to have been canceled. Have you ever been canceled? I know that some of you have been canceled by coworkers, neighbors, longtime friends, or even family. I think it's a new thing to get canceled because of our political beliefs, but getting canceled for our religious beliefs, that practice is as old as the hills. Being ostracized for your politics, I think, has become a thing. I think because for an increasing number of Americans who don't have religion, politics is their religion. I know these people. I taught logic at Lutheran High School in Davenport. I taught about logical fallacy, and they are legion. One of the most common logical fallacies is name-calling. Name-calling. And I told my students that when somebody starts calling you names, you know that they're out of ideas and you have won the argument. One of the churches next town over, pastor worked hard to get open, accepting, and affirming label. Then he left. But before he left, he announced in a church newsletter that I read that he would no longer talk about those things to homophobes. Homophobes. And it's why I don't talk to pastors like that. I used to talk to non-LCMS pastors. Talked to him all the time in South Wisconsin in the late 80s. But when the first word out of your mouth is to call me a name, you've probably been called names. Jesus was called names. And the other side of freedom of speech is that if somebody doesn't want to hear what you have to say, They don't have to hear what you have to say. In this country, you can't make somebody listen to you. But if you really want to ostracize somebody, cancel him, maybe Jesus told Herod that it was not okay for Herod to marry his brother's wife. And maybe told him that it was not okay of Herod to kill his friend John. And if you really want to cancel Jesus who worked with John, but you know, since Herod ordered John to be beheaded, John had not said one word about him being married to his brother's wife. Not all Pharisees are the same, and these friendly Pharisees warn Jesus, get away from here because Herod wants to kill you. And I like the way Jesus responds to that news. Not quite done here. Not quite done here just yet. Tell Herod I'm going to be here today and tomorrow and the day after that until I finish my work. Then I'll be headed for Jerusalem. And he had already set his face to Jerusalem. Or to put it another way, in a few days Jesus will head for Jerusalem because that's the place where it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. That's the place where those who proclaim the word of God go to die, to be canceled with extreme prejudice. Jeremiah was one of them. Jeremiah, his mouth got him into trouble. The priests and the prophets wanted to cancel him. When Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, "You shall die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying things that we don't want to hear? Like that maybe we've done something wrong." Now people, friends, neighbors, children, family, they like it when we say things that they want to hear. No problem there. It's when you say things they don't want to hear. But when it comes to the prophetic word of God, Jeremiah points out, the Lord sent me to prophesy. The Lord sent me to say these things, things that you don't want to hear. The people at the time of Jerusalem, at Jeremiah, could hear any number of false prophets. There were lots more of the false prophets than Jeremiah who would tell them what they wanted to hear. You're good. It's good. Herod, they would say, you're being married to your brother's wife. You're good. It's okay. You two men want to get married, of course. It's okay. No problem. I Googled that clergy and gay marriage and came to an article that says mainline pastors drive growth for support of same-sex marriage. That's where it starts. And the article includes a graph that shows that in 2010, only one-third of mainline pastors approved it. Today, over half of mainline pastors approve same-sex marriage. And it's growing. And they don't want to talk about it to me or to other people, but they do want to call me names. Pastor, don't you know that people don't want to hear that? Yes, I do know that. A document from the time of Jesus called The Lives of the Prophets includes a listing of 23 Old Testament prophets who were martyred, killed for their trouble. Queen Jezebel speaks of her desire to cut down the prophets of God, and she did, and she did. Elijah complains, as you know, that the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Never got Elijah. Never got him. Second Chronicles describes how they did get the prophet Zechariah, who was of the priestly family, who stood in the prophetic preaching office, he was stoned at the hands of King Joash. And the writer of the Hebrews, to the Hebrews, speaks of the Old Testament prophets. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. That'll kill you. Probably Isaiah. They were killed with a sword. Yeah, Jeremiah's mouth got him exiled to Egypt, where they canceled him in the end with stones. I think the English are the ones most well known for going on the fox hunt. I think they're well known because they make a sport of it. Dare we say they have fun with it. But a lot of people in a lot of places have gone on the fox hunt or otherwise tried to kill foxes because foxes kill things. Most people, when they see a fox, will note how cute he is. In nature, cute or not, the fox is a predator. People who own chickens or guinea fowl or other animals might classify the fox and do as vermin, a pest to be eradicated. That's what Herod saw when he looked at Jesus. Vermin, a pest to be eradicated, like John was. And Jesus makes himself to be the chicken in the simile to make that point in another. Maybe a double entendre going on here. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophets and stoning those who were sent to you. How often would I have gathered you, your children, together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. But you will not. You would not. They say that when the guinea fowl detected a fox close by and sounded the alarm, the chicks would head for the mother hen for protection to be saved from becoming prey for the fox. For 3 years, Jesus has been saying what he says, doing what he does. He was well received in Galilee and the other outlying areas where the pagan gods were legion. Synagogues were few, but Jerusalem, the center of their religion, the place of temple and all the temple stood for, the place that drew unto herself the best of the theologians, when he tried to take her under his wing, you would not. You would not. Behold, your house is forsaken. Wonder how they liked hearing that. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and they did not. And in the end, Jesus was canceled extremely by being killed. Herod, when he had a chance to maybe save him, didn't. And that death of Jesus on the cross paid for the sins of you and for me and of all people of all times and all places. And then he rose again victoriously, ascended into heaven. But he wasn't done. He left behind the 12, the 70, and lots of others to carry on. And 11 of the 12 apostles were canceled by killing. In some places, that extreme cancel is still going on. I was curious about that, so I searched pastor killed. And you get stories about being killed by his wife, by a hit and run, by being shot to death. And they're mostly old stories. It's not a dangerous job in this country to be a pastor. But do pastor killed India or pastor killed Vietnam? Happens all the time. Almost always for religious reasons, because they were preaching the word of God. Their mouths get them into trouble. And to forget about the pastors for a moment, search Christians killed in India. Christians killed in Nigeria. That also happens all the time because of their religious belief. And they kept it up. And they kept going. Missionaries kept going out to Boniface. Boniface was the missionary who went to the German people. Nice statue of him outside the church there in Mainz. And then you may have heard of St. Patrick, missionary to Ireland. Patrick was an Englishman. Patrick lived in the 5th century, and he was taken into slavery by them barbaric Irish. He escaped, made his way back to England, determined to cross the Irish Sea and preach Christ to the very people who had enslaved him. St. Patrick, he's in the hymnal. His feast day is March 17th. That's Thursday, March 17th. But by then you'll probably forget all about St. Patrick. But if you do, maybe on Thursday, remember St. Patrick, missionary to Ireland. Don't pray for him. Pray a prayer of thanks to God for him and others like him. One of the reasons why we today are Christians. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.